Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Review Show. I'm here, myself, Mike Mills, Doc Turner. Doc, what's going on, man? How's your week been?
I can't call it.
Okay, I just thought I would ask. I mean,
I'm just kidding, man. I'm excited as hell. This is episode 11, man. This is the best one yet.
I was about to say.
This one is so good, we had to record it twice.
I was about to say, man, you usually get really, really fucking hype for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast.
This is the one, and I'm going to let a spoiler out here. This is the one where Hulk Hogan shows up.
All right. So, kicking things off, if you haven't already done so before we kick things off, I just want to say, please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and click the shop now button. It will bring you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. We'd appreciate if you pick up a t-shirt or two. We got four designs up, one of them being the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt. Very, very nice design. I've got nothing but great feedback on that design, and people really, really do love the shirt. So, I just want to thank like people like Armando Martinez. I think Jared Walsh is his name on Twitter as well. I'm trying to remember. I know T-Hog94 has bought one. It's got a bunch of people. So those are the people I know on Twitter who have purchased them. And I just want to say thanks, man. We appreciate the support and you picking up a couple of Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirts. Now, Doc, we are Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 11 from April 11th of 1992. We are coming this week from the Hancock County High School in East Tennessee. You got any background about the Hancock County High School and where we're at this week?
Well, it was named for all the cheerleaders that like to give hand jobs out behind the football field.
You're full of bullshit.
But, I did a little bit of looking because East Tennessee, the heartland of East Tennessee is what the it said. That seemed kind of sketchy and not real well defined. So I looked up Hancock County. Hancock County's population as of today is 6,819. That would make it the fourth least populated county in the great state of Tennessee. So we are not talking about a population center here. I'll leave the comments alone there. I will say that the crowd, I don't think the crowd is huge for this one, but I do think the crowd is engaged in the product, and I think that they're having a good time throughout this.
Well, for a county of only 6,000 people as of 2016, I don't know what the amount was back in 1992, this was a pretty hot crowd, a pretty lively crowd, a pretty packed-looking high school.
They heard Smoky Mountain was coming, so they went and sold off their best cow or sheep and got the money to come down to the high school for the wrestling.
You damn right. So just a quick follow-up from episode number 10 as well, as we're jumping into this week's episode. Cornette and the news reporter were at a hotel, motel, whatever you want to call it. So I wanted to mention one of our listeners who has supported the show and always retweets it and is always tweeting me on the Twitter machine, at Riley Arnwine. I hope I'm saying that correct, sir. On Twitter, he said, first off, he's from Knoxville, based on what I understand, and he's thoroughly enjoyed Smoky Mountain Wrestling when it was up and running and they were a functional promotion. He said on Twitter that the hotel that Cornette was at, I believe it was a Howard Johnson, but it was nicknamed the Nooner.
What did that mean?
So apparently, mean? Doc, it wasn't the classy place, I assume. Doc, you want to tell people what a Nooner is?
Oh, I don't know. You tell me.
Nah, I'm not going there. I figure you're the one with the experience.
No. Well, from what I was able to add to do research on, because I wouldn't know of such seemly and horrible things. A Nooner is a hotel where you can get an hourly rate because you only need an hour to bang out your your hotel business and then get on back. And a Nooner refers to it that hour of business was done during the noon hour. So if we're going to put all the pieces together, it would be some work folk that need to get away from the office to, take care of some sexual, release some sexual tension, and then they can come back to work. I just have them climb under the desk where I work, but I don't know. Whatever. I ain't paying for a room.
As Hardbody Harper would always say on our regular show that drops every Thursday night, that's real classy. Yeah. So thanks, Riley. Your feedback as someone who remembers the promotion.
Didn't he say they tore it down and then all the crabs like crawled out into the field?
No, I don't. I can't remember if he said they tore it down or no. I think he sent me a photo of like a fence around it that it's closed down.
They had to quarantine it for all the syphilis in there.
Your feedback though, Riley, is awesome. As someone who remembers a promotion in such a great way, we always welcome it, and thanks for continuously spreading the word about our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast. So, all right, folks, enough about the Nooner Hotel in Hancock County High School. We are set. Opening promo, Bob Cottle is setting the table for tonight's action. Carl Stiles is back at the desk, and Dutch is wearing a baby shit colored coat and big dark sunglasses with his traditional large cowboy hat. Bob Cottle and Dutch Mantel claim once again that finally Jim Cornette's tag team will finally be making its debut against the Batten Twins in today's main event. Bob Cottle also acknowledges Carl Stiles is present, who's behind the two of them, and he asks Dutch, where has Stiles been? And Dutch says, I don't want to talk about it. It's none of your business. As Dutch says, let's go to the ring. Dutch seems a little perturbed and frustrated with Bob Cottle badgering him about Carl Stiles, but more to come on that.
Was Dutch dipping there?
It certainly may have looked like it. Now that you say it,
well, you know, we've heard Dutch say on other podcasts that you know he would book Puerto Rico by just going out to the beach and drinking whiskey and tequila. So it's possible.
Dutch did say that. You are absolutely correct. Now that you bring that up, I do remember.
And I don't say that as a bad thing.
No,
not at all. I hope I say it about a future guest on the show, but we haven't confirmed that. We haven't really worked on it either, so we're just really saying it'd be awesome.
Oh, no. I'm going to reach out to Dutch, and hopefully we can land him. I actually want to ask Rod if he's got a relationship with Dutch. That way, maybe that'll help help ease Dutch into saying, yeah, sure, he'd do it. But I do want to reach out to Dutch. Dutch is – look, man, we like Dutch. Come on, man. As Zeb Coulter, as Dutch Mantel, he's the man. Okay, so we go to the opening match of this week's episode. It is Hollywood Bob Holly against Ben Jordan. The ring announcer announces Ben Jordan's name, and then Bob Holly's music hits. Doc, Hollywood Bob Holly is really working the gimmick, I must say. Not that he wasn't before, but he's really working it during this entrance, just with his, I don't know if I want to call it a prance, or just the way he looks.
Maybe he's got hemorrhoids.
Whatever. Dutch reminds us that Bob Holly is still undefeated. So Jordan and Holly start with some nice-looking high spots where Jordan gives Holly a hip toss, a body slam, and then a nice-looking arm drag, really crisp and clean. Bob Holly quickly takes over, though, and starts in on Jordan. Bob Cottle gets back to the whole Styles thing that he mentioned in the opening, and he wants to know where Styles was since he was MIA. And Bob Cottle says, where was he? Dutch Mantel says, I don't know. Carl Styles is goofy. He might have been lost or something, so don't ask me about it again, Bob Cottle. I'm not going to ask you the question I was going to ask you here, Doc, about is this going anywhere? So we'll continue. We get back to the action where Dutch Mantel is watching Bob Holly lay it into Jordan, and Dutch Mantel wants to know if Bob Cottle saw Bob Holly at the Oscars with Julia Roberts. Now, let me remind people, back then, not that Julia Roberts isn't a big deal now, but she was really a big deal back in the 90s. Wouldn't you say so, Doc?
Probably the biggest actress on the planet at this time.
I don't know if I'd go there, but she was a pretty damn big deal. So if you're wondering why the fuck are they talking about Julia Roberts so much? Well, at that time, she was pretty popular. Dutch Mantel says they put a camera on Bob Holly and Julia Roberts, and they look devastated. They start talking about – then they switch topics, and they start talking about Bob Holly not being in the tournament for the heavyweight title. And this is pretty interesting discussion here. Dutch Mantel says, I don't blame Bob Holly because why would he want to beat three guys when he can just wait for the winner and fight one guy? Which I don't know, Doc, if Dutch Mantel meant for it to come across this way, but he basically, I mean, him saying that makes a whole lot of sense. Why would Holly, you know what I'm saying?
Why would Holly not just wait and wait for the winner and beat there? Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. But the guy saying it is in the tournament.
Right, which was, well, no, he's not in the tournament, remember? He lost. He lost to, he lost it.
I'll be real honest with you. I couldn't keep that whole thing straight, and we didn't have the match, and I don't really know what's going on at that point. Well, yeah, I'm just going to wait for the volunteer slam and see how this whole thing shakes out.
No, he lost. Dutch lost, so he's not in the tournament. We kind of get a glimpse of what happened, and we talked a little bit about that at the end of last episode. Yeah, it did get cut off. But anyway, so back to the match. Bob Holly slams Jordan to set him up for the knee drop. Well, I'm sorry. Jordan does make a slight comeback before Bob Holly cuts him off. Bob Holly then slams Jordan to set him up for the knee drop off the top rope that Bob Cottle and Dutch Mantel are now calling the star drop. So much for the knee drop being gone that we mentioned on a previous episode, Doc, when Bob Holly finished someone with a drop kick off the top rope. Thoughts on the match and comments, Doc, as Bob Holly pins Ben Jordan with the star drop in 3 minutes and 18 seconds.
No, not a bad match to get us started here. We're going to pick things up pretty quick, though.
Yeah, and it was good. Look, there again, one of the things, and I'm going to talk about this shortly as we get towards the end of this, but just in general, I like the fact that they are still establishing guys. So, like, you know, Hollywood Bob Holly, he hasn't lost yet, according to what Dutch is saying. And this was another match where he gets a pin on Ben Jordan. So they're doing something that, you know, these promotions, the WWE mainly, don't know how to do nowadays. Anyway, we go to a promo with the Koloffs and Ivan and Vladimir. Bob Cottle says, "Why are you guys back? Did you pay the $500 fine?" Now, Doc, I really did believe that they might be gone for good, even though they were listed in the tournament bracket for the tag team tournament, but they're here.
Well, I would have at least thought they were out on paternity leave.
Right, since both of their wives is having babies. Ivan says, "We're glad to be back. You thought you were getting rid of us." He said, and I quote, "We had family situation." they thought they were gone, but the Fantastics will get theirs in the tournament. Now, everyone, if you recall, the last time they were supposed to be on TV was when both of their wives were in labor, when Jimmy Golden cut that promo saying he just got a phone call that there was not going to be a match because the wives were in labor at the exact same time. Doc, any thoughts on the promo?
It's a good promo. It just, you know, they're back. So, I mean, you know, they probably sold some of their, you know, maybe they sold their big hi-fi stereo to pay off the fine. You know, I don't know.
I really like Ivan. He can still cut a promo with the best of them. But one of the things I remembered as I watched this again is Vladimir just makes these stupid faces this whole promo. Like, dude, what are you doing? Just look mean. You ain't got to keep. I can't even explain it. Just fans, when you're watching it, listeners, when you're watching it, well, let's just pay attention to Vladimir's faces. It just looks like a moron. But hey, Ivan, give Ivan credit, man. He cut a believable promo, and I enjoyed it. We go to another promo, which is now Bullet Bob Armstrong. Bullet Bob Armstrong tells us that the Volunteer Slam will be held in Knoxville, Tennessee on May 22nd. He said he's been deluged in calls and letters from the Japan organization. Japan is interested.
The whole country
is interested in coming here and watching the crowning of the champion.
How are they all going to fit in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum?
I don't know.
That's going to be a problem. We need to get more seats.
Right. Not only will the heavyweight title be decided, but the tag titles too. Then he says this will probably be the biggest night in pro wrestling history of the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. He says there will also be a lot more surprises to come, but the main thing is that they want to cooperate with the Japan organization. They're not.
Is that all Japan? Is that all Japan? New Japan? FMW?
I don't know. It's just they want to coordinate with the Japanese organization.
Do you think Bob Armstrong was aware that there was more than one company running in Japan?
I'm sure he was.
Okay. I would assume so as well.
This is 1992, mostly pre-internet. So, I mean, you got to figure. I mean, this is no internet. So, it could have been a WWE. It could have been WCW. Even if you said Japan, how many fans at that time realized? Or, I mean, we knew there was Japan wrestling, but it's not like today where we would, you know, you and I would start naming New Japan, All Japan. We would start going through the list. Noah, that wasn't happening back then. You didn't have fans watching that on TV going, which organization, for the most part. So, I mean, I give him a little bit of a pass there, but I agree. He said they want to cooperate with the Japanese organization because they'll be sending wrestlers from here to over there and vice versa. Now, I took Bob as meaning there would be a talent exchange, but his delivery was a little confusing on it as you watch it back. So the last thing Bullet Bob does address is Paul Orndorff and Orndorff's concern with the pile driver. As you know from previous episodes, Orndorff is he's really pissed about the whole non-issue or about not being able to use the pile driver. Bullet Bob says, I don't need to tell you why the pile driver is illegal. Just know that it can't be used. Bob Cottle closes out the segment by recapping that not only will the heavyweight title be decided at the Volunteer Slam, but the tag titles will be on the line as well in the finals of the tag tournament. Now, we're going to get to this later on down the line once we get to the Volunteer Slam, but you seem to recall that that may be slightly inaccurate. So maybe we can address that later and not really talk too much about it now. Unless okay. You just want to.
And he said that the Volunteer Slam was the 22nd of May. I thought it was the 15th of May. What are we doing here?
On a previous episode, they did say the 15th. So, okay. Yeah, you got
to. Okay, everybody, you need to check your local listings if you're planning on getting tickets to that big event.
Remember when they used to say that, check your local listings, and there was literally a book where you checked your local listings.
You need to make sure. Ticketmaster or the Sears. You can go to your Sears and get your tickets for this big event.
It was Sears and Roebuck back then. It was Sears and Roebuck back then. Anyway, we go to a promo, and oh, fuck my life. It's Tim Horner, Primetime Brian Lee, and Bobby and Jackie Fulton. Now, this is a promo that is promoting Smoky Mountain Wrestling heading to Chattanooga, Tennessee soon. And of course, the first person that Bob Cottle puts the microphone in their face is Tim Horner. Tim Horner says how excited he is that they'll be coming to Chattanooga. He says when White Lightning comes to town, he's going to be striking so hard, so fast, from so many directions, my opponent's going to think they're surrounded. He then says the Fantastics are live anytime they show up. And my main man, Primetime Brian Lee, 285 pounds of romping, stomping, walking, talking, jip-jiving, socializing. He walks tall and does it all. Tell him, Primetime.
Now, hold on.
Now, let me
stop. As hokey and terrible as you just sounded, you sounded way better than Tim Horner.
I can't sound that bad. Now, and I want you fans to realize when you're listening, this is exactly what this fool said. He said, and I quote, the Fantastics are live anytime they show up.
What does that mean? What does that mean? The Fantastics are live anytime they show up. Are they alive? Yeah, I would hope so.
Well, but the one that got me was my main man, Primetime Brian Lee, 285 pounds of romping, stomping, walking, talking, jip-jiving, socializing. He walks tall and does it all. Tell him, Primetime Brian Lee. Man, I had to hit pause. I must have rewound and laughed my fucking ass off at that shit 10 times. So anyway, should I continue?
Yes.
Okay. So the mic then goes to Primetime Brian Lee, and Primetime Brian Lee then says, he says his part about how he's going to put his finishing move, the cancellation, on someone. Bobby Fulton then delivers a strong promo where he always says, let me tell you something, Bob Cottle. I'm poking fun at Bobby, but you know, because Bobby does cut a good promo, but he always does say, let me tell you something. And then we get Jackie Fulton, and I'm beginning to realize Jackie Fulton might have a little Gibson and Ricky Morton in him as the mic gets in Jackie's face.
An eight ball and weed?
No, he's ring rats. Jackie says, I'm excited to be back because the great Chattanooga fans are so good, and we can't wait to shake all their hands of those fans. And he says, hug all those pretty young ladies because I know that Chattanooga has the prettiest girls in all the United States. Now, Doc, let me remind you, this is the second time Jackie is talking about hugging and kissing all those pretty young ladies. Jackie sounds like he's ready for some ring rat chasing when he gets to Chattanooga.
He might as well tell those ladies to grab their ankles and get ready.
so awesome, though.
Once again, I'm sitting there watching those four poofy-haired blonde dudes all standing there thinking, where's Morton? We need Morton. Do I see him yet in the distance? Is he coming? I don't know. God almighty. And I was thinking also that the Fultons were standing there probably thinking about Horner. We should just stretch this motherfucker and take the mic.
Bobby Fulton cuts a good promo. I mean, we can't not.
He does.
I mean, we're joking.
And Jackie Fulton wasn't bad either, but by the time they get to them, they sound like Ric Flair because they went after Tim Horner.
I mean, and it's fun. And man, look, here's the thing. It's not just us making fun of Horner. Every fucking tweet I get about Horner is, why did they put the mic in this idiot's, well, I don't say idiot, in this guy's face?
I was really worried when we started this that I was going to catch a lot of heat for being the guy that was down on Tim Horner, because I'm usually down. I'm the guy who's usually down on stuff. But, you know, it's almost a universal reaction.
Well, not just that, is I told you to be nice about Horner the first couple times, and now I'm the one putting the boots to the damn promos he's cutting. So yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, oh God, here we go again. You know what though, Doc? It's become so comical. It's actually entertaining when it's promo time for him. If you think about it, like, I look forward to it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
I do, because I want to laugh. So anyway, but yeah, so, you know, here we are. We got where are we at now? Okay, yeah, Joey Maggs and Danny Davis.
Will, let's get back to the tag team tournament.
What did I miss?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you meant I missed something. My bad. Okay, yeah. So we get back to the
Joey Maggs and Nitro Danny Davis in the ring against the Russians, Ivan and Vladimir Koloff.
And boy, from the start, the USA chants get started right from the beginning. Maggs and Davis do a lot of tagging at the beginning of the match as the babyface tag team gets some shine on early on. But then the Russians take over the match. Vladimir goes to shoot off Maggs. Vladimir bends over to give Maggs a backdrop when Maggs leapfrogs over him and instead then flies right out of the ring through the ropes. Now, to me, it looked like a botch for sure. I don't know. It's about the minute mark 16:30 when it happens. Doc, did you see that? I mean, what?
Yeah, I thought it was like, you know, four veterans in there. I felt like it was just, yeah, it got botched and he just kind of went with it.
Yeah, it was. I don't know how to explain it. It just was. It definitely had a really, really strange. I don't know. It definitely was really, really strange to me. So, but that was just my take on it. Dutch Mantel starts talking about how Ivan has trained Vladimir in the old style of wrestling. He says American wrestlers grew up on the sofa eating potato chips, watching MTV, and being lazy, unlike Russian wrestlers.
Well, sounds like he's shooting now.
You know, honestly, Dutch wasn't lying back then, because there was a lot of kids sitting on the sofa and eating potato chips, watching MTV. Now they sit on the sofa playing video games. But anyway, the Russian team continues to get the heat on Maggs during the match. Maggs finally hits Vladimir with a kick to the back of the neck, which fans pop on. Maggs makes the hot tag to Nitro Danny Davis. Soon after all this, all hell breaks loose with a four-way. Then, with the four-way going on between Maggs, Davis, and the Koloffs, Jackie Fulton and Bobby Fulton come out. Now, while there is this chaos with the Koloffs, Maggs, and Davis going in at the ring, Vladimir sets up and drapes the Russian chain in one of the corners of the ring. Vladimir throws Davis into the corner where Davis's back hits the chain on the top turnbuckle, you know, kind of stunning him. Mm-hmm. Vladimir then comes in to splash Davis, who's still in the corner, when from the outside of the ring where Bobby Fulton is standing, Bobby Fulton pulls Nitro Danny Davis out of the way. And when Vladimir nails his head on the chain, nails the chain with his head as he was going in for what would
be. Are you having a stroke?
No, what we would call a stinger splash. My bad. So, because it gets confusing. But anyway, so there's a stinger splash that Vladimir.
You're painting a very clear picture here. God damn it.
Fuck you. You got a new headset and you want to act like your shit don't stink. Vladimir takes the bump. Nitro Danny Davis then falls onto Vladimir. Bob Cottle says, I wonder who got the last laugh just now, Dutch. Doc, I really took this as the end of this feud. And, you know, if you think about it, man, this has been going on since episode one. So what did you make of everything that we witnessed here with the Koloffs losing to Maggs and Nitro Danny Davis with the assist from Bobby and Jackie Fulton?
Big upset here, I thought. I thought this was a big upset. I love it. It's a surprise. Didn't see it coming. We were swerved. I like that, because now whenever you watch any matches for the next few weeks, you're going to be wondering, you're going to think anybody has a chance, right? So I like that idea of it. Did you notice how sweaty Danny Davis was during this match? I wonder if he was okay.
I wasn't paying attention to that, but
okay. Well, maybe I was just wondering if that's why one of the guys slid out of the ring. yeah, without spoiling too much, I think when you said this kind of blows off the feud, I believe you are correct there.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was – well, what? Here's the thing. Now, this angle or story isn't quite as popular as the whole, you know, one with Jim Cornette's tag team. However, if you really think about it,
it's the first one though. So it's the first one, and now it's gone. I'm sad. It's like right. It's like your kid growing up and going away to college.
Well, I don't know if it's over, but it definitely felt that way as you watch. There was something about watching this episode when the Koloffs lost that made me feel like this may be the end of them in Smoky Mountain. And I'm saying that. Not giving a spoiler out, I really don't know if this is the end because I haven't watched it all. So, Doc, you be quiet if you know something.
It's however, bad, like when your girl realizes she can get paid for her pussy and leaves you.
What the hell's that got to do with Vladimir and Ivan? Shut the
fuck up. I don't.
Okay. Well, let's move on, and we go to a promo with Bob Caudle and Dutch Mantel.
Hey Bob, Mike.
Yeah.
Where's Styles?
Bob Caudle is still digging at Dutch Mantel, asking him, where's Styles? Where was Styles when he was missing in action? Dutch Mantel basically keeps telling him it's none of your goddamn business. I'm just going to say I'll be very disappointed if this doesn't end up going anywhere. We then get
I'll just tell you, I don't honestly remember where this goes. That's something we've been trying to tell people is that Doc doesn't always have the best memory on what some of these lesser angles are. So I don't know. We'll see.
But it's obvious that he's digging at something here when he's doing this. So we then get a recap from last week when Primetime Brian Lee and Dirty White Boy confront each other in a promo that we covered on last week's episode. We see the very beginning of the match from last week that was cut off from our copy where Primetime Brian Lee was getting ready to enter the ring against Dutch when the Dirty White Boy came out and nails Primetime Brian Lee with a chair across the back. As Dirty White Boy is about to hit Primetime Brian Lee again, bruh, Bullet Bob runs out. It looks like he's ready to fuck some people up in those tight pants and that short sleeve shirt. He stops the Dirty White Boy from hitting Primetime Brian Lee again, and this leads to Ron Wright in the wheelchair promo. Did you want to add anything to that before I move to the Ron Wright promo?
I'm ready to get on to the man.
We love Ron Wright.
Because as much as Tim Horner is being cast as the true villain here, it's amazing to me to watch the reaction of our fans out there on Twitter as Ron Wright is just, you know, posthumously getting another run as a legend, and he deserves it. So,
all right, we go to the Ron Wright promo. Bob Caudle mentions how the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright have been fined $500 for their actions last week with that chair shot onto Primetime Brian Lee. As Bob Caudle sticks the mic in Ron Wright's face, Ron Wright says, I was never so disheartened. Here I am, a poor old crippled old feeble old man up in my years. I was having to take heart medicine and arthritis medicine, and after him putting that low down $500 fine on me, I've had to go and take generic heart medicine, and that doesn't keep my heart in check like the other stuff did. But let me tell you something, Bob Armstrong. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you pulled a dirty old trick on me. You're making it hard on me, but I've got the Dirty White Boy out in the streets, running up and down the back alleys. I got him training the way I had him training years ago, kicking people, stomping dogs, anything and anybody he runs into. We'll be ready for the big slam when it comes to Knoxville. Doc, I just quoted him word for word. Go ahead and give me your thoughts on this.
He's a national treasure. He's a wrestling legend. And I can't wait for us to get to episode 12 where we can tell the people what he says about Dirty White Boy in that one.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the thing, because it gets that much worse.
Worse?
It does. Better. Because let me say this. It has to do with him and a dog again, and that's all we'll say. So, teaser for you. Ron Wright is just great. I mean, it's like, you know the best part about that? This whole thing? It's not scripted. You know that's not scripted.
No.
Cornette told him, I want you to say a few things. I want you to address the $500 fine and go from there.
But the bad thing is you could probably also argue that the Tim Horner wasn't scripted either. So.
Well, I mean, that yeah, of course, but whatever. That's Tim Horner. We go to another promo where it's Hector Guerrero, Dixie Dynamite, and Paul Orndorff. Dixie says, as jubilant as he can be, "I'm happy to be here and be a wild card in the tournament for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight title." Hector reiterates that he is happy and it's an honor. Both basically just state that, as wild cards, they'll give it their all and hopefully win it all. Now, remember, I said Orndorff is standing there and he's not happy. His body language is telling a great story without saying a word. And he basically shits on all the positivity from Dixie and Hector, calling it a bunch of gaga. He then puts himself over talking about how he's beat Hogan and Ric Flair. He then tells Bob Caudle he's just as smart. He tells Bob Caudle, you're just as smart as the rednecks here. Orndorff and Hector get into it, and Hector says, "Talk is cheap. Let's do this in the ring," which leads into a match with Orndorff and Hector. Before we go to the wild card elimination match with Hector and Orndorff, I have to say, Doc, Orndorff cut a very nice promo full of emotion as he basically called Hector and Dixie shit in so many words. I know you had some thoughts on this promo about Orndorff, so I'll let you go in now.
Yeah, I thought Orndorff was really good, even before he started with his promo while the other guys were talking. It just his nonverbals, his facial expressions, the way he's looking around at this nonsense that's going on. I thought it was really, really good. And then at the end, while he's cutting his promo, he's like, "You're dead gum right. I'm going to hurt someone." So, yeah, it's good stuff. And it continues into the ring.
He showed real emotion. And I think the big thing here is before the mic was ever put in his face, the body language of the story he was telling.
He's hot. He can't. Yeah. His finishing move has been taken away from him. He's hot about it.
He was very fucking pissed. I mean, you can see it. So we head to the ring where it's Paul Orndorff versus Hector Guerrero. Now, before the match starts, Orndorff says on the mic, "Hey, Hector, you know what Arriba means? It means swim a little faster. The border guards are coming." Even the ring announcer popped and broke character.
You know how we love racism in wrestling.
As the match is getting started, Hector starts rolling around the ring, and Orndorff is getting pissed. Bob Caudle and Dutch Mantel sell Paul Orndorff as being pissed because he's a world-traveling great wrestler. And, why does he have to compete as a wild card? Now, Paul Orndorff is really working and being a good heel in this match. Dutch Mantel points out in the middle of the match that Mark Curtis is now the referee. I just wanted to drop that note in there.
This is his debut.
Right. So this is the first time he's in there. Now, back to the match. Paul Orndorff is healing his ass off, throwing close fist punches. I mean, just the boots that he's laying into Hector when Hector's down are really, really good. I mean, it's just old school stomping somebody. I just found it is a typical old school match with a heel in the face. I noticed halfway through the match that Paul Orndorff's mouth is busted open. I didn't notice when this happened. Did you, Doc?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay. Here's also an observation. Based on what we know, these two guys are both undefeated in Smoky Mountain at this stage. So there's no 50-50 booking. These guys were built up to some extent, and here we are in week 11. I just think there was a lot to that, where Hector hadn't lost, Orndorff hadn't lost. We got two guys who hadn't lost. Well, when you got two guys who hadn't lost and one of them's fighting for a spot in the tournament, you got to have a winner, right?
Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose.
All right. So the finish was weird a little to me. Hector came off the top, but, and like kind of cross-bodied Orndorff. Orndorff was able to, catch him and roll over as he caught Hector and he got the pin. It wasn't real clean, but, whatever. Then Paul Orndorff goes on a fucking pile driver binge. He pile drives Hector. Ben Jordan runs in, he pile drives him. Reno Riggins runs in, he pile drives him. Joey Maggs runs in, he pile drives him. Lastly, he brings a chair into the ring, and Orndorff pile drives Hector on the chair.
Now, these are great looking. These are great looking pile drivers, by the way.
Yes, they were fantastic.
He's catching air underneath them.
Yes, he'd look very good. So, Doc, quick question: thoughts on the match overall? The pile drivers? Anything that you wanted to add here? Because I thought this was. Good little match, 5 minutes and 23 seconds as Orndorff got a clean win on Hector, but then he did heel type shit and laid a bunch of people out.
Yeah, I think it was awesome. Two vets in there getting after it. We've got a couple of guys that neither one of them is enhancement talent. And now Orndorff has gone berserk in heelish fashion, and that there will be some repercussions, I'm sure.
consequences and repercussions, as they say. All right, let's go to the main event of the evening, where we have, it's a tag team tournament match. We got Brad and Bart Batten. Did you want to add anything about the Bart Batten twins before I go any further, Doc?
Well, yeah, those were, they're two guys that had been around the circuit. They'd been in different territories. They had been a, you know, mid-card to lower mid-card tag team. They'd actually, I think, been in Dallas. I don't remember them. They had been to WCW for a little bit, I believe. So, you know, I mean, this is a team that is not Jabroni Central, but they are a upper mid-card team, our mid-card team here. But they're facing Jim Cornette's mystery team, so I don't know that the Battens will advance in this tournament. They've got the jumping high five move that is theirs. They're twins, which would be great if they were heels, that they could do heelish stuff and be not and get away with it. But let's be honest. We're not here to talk about the Batten twins.
Nope.
We're here to talk about Jim Cornette's team. This is 11 weeks in the making. We've been kept in suspense week after week after week, but now it's nut-cutting time. It's time to see who Jim Cornette has brought into the promotion. God damn it, Mike, let's do this thing.
Yeah, this is it. It's finally time to see who Jim Cornette's tag team will be. You know, keep in mind, we are in week 11. This is episode 11 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling being televised. And, you know, I don't say this in a bad way when I use this term, because I really don't like using it, but the marks are lathered up in this building. The fans are lathered. It's like a Trump rally. They are worked up. Jim Cornette makes his way to the ring to some boos, of course, because Corny just gets a lot of boos. Doc, you want to tell him about his jacket that he's got on? Tailor-made.
Well, it's
it looks
shiny.
Like.
It's shiny. It's black and it's red. And I believe there's two tennis rackets crossed on the back.
Tailor-made for JC. Jim Cornette starts talking about his last two tag teams, and although he doesn't say the name, he's obviously referring to the Midnight Express. I would assume the numerous combinations he had. And then he welcomes down the Heavenly Bodies, which are Stan Lane and Dr. Tom Pritchard. He announces them as the Gangster of Love and the Doctor of Desire. Although not a big crowd here. I mean, well, fairly. When I say not a big crowd, we're not talking 10,000 people. Still packed for this building. You can tell the fans are excited and they are lit up by the Heavenly Bodies. Now, Doc, before I go any further, you had mentioned this, I think, to me offline. It felt, when you were watching this, like a big deal, didn't it?
It felt like a big deal? Yeah.
Like, when he finally announced them, you got a sense, unlike...
There was a payoff.
Right, right. But it
and
felt
the other
like
thing
there,
is,
was, there was a big deal.
Those two guys came in the ring like veterans. They carried themselves like a big deal. And in the opening seconds of the match, you can tell why they're a big deal. They're running the ropes faster than anybody else. They're hitting them harder than anybody else. They're carrying themselves through this like they're the shit.
Yeah, they are. So go to the
I mean, my note was here, and it's not to any part of the match. It was just Jesus. Stan Lane is crisp as hell here, and Pritchard is too, for that matter.
Yeah, they both really look good. They're good. They're in good shape. When the baby
all them ring rats down at the Nooner got them ready to go.
When the baby face into the match, when the baby face gets a move or two in the beginning, the crowd is up and cheering. They love it. And when the Heavenly Bodies are getting offense, the crowd is booing. The Battens get a nice set of moves where they do a nice double hip toss and double drop kick to both Lane and Pritchard. And the crowd is on fire when this happens. And they're alive at more than any other point in any other match during this hour. The Heavenly Bodies, they do the typical heel stuff with switching without tagging. There's a point when Jim Cornette distracts the ref, where one of the Battens has one of the Heavenly Bodies down for a three count. We then get a hot tag at the end where one of the Battens does his thing, but the Heavenly Bodies get the upper hand. The referee, as it always happened back then, gets distracted. The Heavenly, yeah, you know, it was bound to happen.
Well, it's Mark Curtis's first week, so you can't blame him.
Yeah, well, it was typical territory style wrestling, and I'm not complaining. This was what we enjoyed about wrestling back then. How many times did the referee get distracted when Dusty had Flair down and didn't get the count, but yet as soon as Flair got the upper hand or cheated, all of a sudden Flair got the pin. So whatever. The Heavenly Bodies, their finishing move, it's really hard to explain, and you'll see it on the video, but basically. One of the Battens is shot into the ropes. Dr. Tom, basically, he kind of does a backdrop, and then Stan Lane, who's standing kind of to the side behind Dr. Tom, helps rotate the Baton Twin over and slams him to the canvas. The Heavenly Bodies, through no shock of anyone's, get the pin, the 1-2-3. Doc, your overall thoughts and the payoff here.
Well, I mean, the payoff, the, just for them showing up, how good they were in the ring. Right now, we're sitting, you know, that's what I said at the beginning, that this is the best episode so far. I think that's going to be the main driver. Although Orndorff segment was pretty good, too. Yeah, this really delivered. How many times do you see angles that are promised and it's like, eh, this one was good. I enjoyed it. Good job.
Yeah, I did.
Smoky Mountain.
I did too, and I'm gonna add more to it after this next promo, because what happens is they get the pin, and then we cut away to a promo with Ron Wright, Dutch Mantel, and Jimmy Golden. Another promo where they want to talk some people into the building in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dutch says he hates Chattanooga and he'd rather take a bullwhip at sunup. He said the people are horrible, and whoever he wrestles, he's going to lay them out like a coal slab in a mortuary, and then he's going to spit on them. Okay, Dutch. Jimmy Golden. Jimmy. Doc, I'm laughing because did Jimmy Golden like kind of pop on that?
Jimmy Golden thought that was funny.
He chuckled. He broke character. He's like, ha ha. Jimmy Golden now gets his say, and he calls the people a bunch of hillbillies because that's standard hill language in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And now it's Ron Wright's turn. This was very mild from Ron Wright. Right. Ron Wright promo, he just says he spent over 20 years in wrestling there before he was put in his wheelchair and crippled, and this is really the mildest Ron Wright promo to date at this point. So
you think maybe that was the generic heart medication that he's being forced to take?
That could have been it. I don't have any other explanation for it, to be honest with you. So anyway.
Poor Ron.
Yeah, poor Ron. All right, we go to the very last promo of the night where it's Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. Jim Cornette says that they have beaten – let me stop, too, for a second, because this is excellent. This is where the rubber met the road in this payoff of this. Jim Cornette says they have beaten every man worth being beaten and every woman worth having they've had. We're going to play this promo at the end, so I won't quote it word for word like I try to do. But if you ever want to know why a guy like Dr. Tom is so good, not just in the ring, listen to the emotional and meaningful delivery of his promo. Dr. Tom is a great promo. Stan Lane doesn't say a word, and he didn't have to. The fans, they're booing and they're pissed. Doc, I'll let you give your thoughts, because I thought this promo was short, but it was powerful as the feud was paid off. Your thoughts?
We're here for titles. And money. Shit, who isn't?
Not only that, but this was okay. What I liked about this was they didn't sit there and yap for 15 minutes, but this was the culmination of not even a feud, but a payoff of a mystery team that we've been waiting to hear for 11 weeks now. He's been talking about this since week one. They finally bring him in. It felt special. It felt big. And I just don't get that feeling when I'm watching wrestling today on any promotion.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and it's not, I'm not trying to knock TNA and WWE. I actually think TNA presently, if by the
Don't,
time.
Here's the difference. Those three guys that were cutting that promo did not want to be liked people in that building. And that's not something you get today on TV.
What did you say about Dr. Tom, though? You told me he reminded you of someone.
I think he spent time in Los Angeles, and I think it was at the same time as Roddy Piper. The way he nasally speaks and kind of the way his intonation when he's speaking reminded me of Roddy Piper. I'm not saying it was a copy, but it was reminiscent of Piper, the way he spoke, kind of that high-pitched nasal. Because if you hear Dr. Tom today on podcast, he doesn't sound like that.
No, he doesn't sound anything like that, but he did. I tend to agree with you. He did come across as Piper sounding just with his delivery of it, which is not a bad thing. I'm not complaining because it was a good promo. And again, notice something. Stan Lane didn't say a word.
You don't have to. He's too busy sitting over there looking like a mini Lex Luger.
Yeah, pretty well. I don't know.
He's better than Lex Luger in the ring, but he just resembles Lex Luger.
He wasn't as ripped as Luger. I know what you mean. He wasn't as ripped.
He was too
Luger.
Busy being better in the ring.
Right. He wasn't as ripped as Luger, but he was remarkably better in the ring. So, you know, Doc, this was – we finally got the payoff. We, you know, I thought – just a quick recap. I thought we had a lot of good stuff happening here. We had two tag team matches. We had a surprise in one of those matches. We had a shitty Tim Horner promo, which, hey, you know what? I like poking fun at that. We had Paul Orndorff, his promo. We had the Paul Orndorff match with Hector, you know, where he decides to go ape shit and pile drive everyone. I really enjoyed that. And then we get the payoff with the Heavenly Bodies in a promo at the end. I mean, I don't know if you could, you know, I know this isn't a rating of 10 on disability checks, but I'm going to give it 8.5 disability checks. I think this was an excellent episode, and it just makes me look forward to more. What do you think?
Did you ask for my disability checks?
I know you don't get disability checks, but what rating would you give it for disability checks?
I'm going to give it a 6.8, which may seem kind of loaded, but just know that we've got better. This is a great episode, but we've got even better things in the future. So that's the only reason that it's probably not as high as you might think.
All right. Well, you know what? That is going to wrap up almost this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Hey, everyone, please follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Follow me. I'm at @Mike504Saints. If you are a first-time listener and enjoy the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review, subscribe to us on Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio, or however you get your podcast from. If on iTunes and Stitcher, please write us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate it. I always say this. This is a free show. I'm confident that we're never going to charge for our shows because, hey, we like doing this. It's more of a hobby. But if you would like to
support, we know y'all can't afford it. We know y'all can't afford it anyway, so.
Oh, shut up. But if you would like to support the show, we would appreciate if you would drop us a PayPal donation. If you just check the show notes, there's a donation link in PayPal to PayPal there. If you don't want to donate, that's not a problem. You can support the show via our Amazon referral link. That is also in the show notes. Also, you can support us from Pro Wrestling Tees. There is our store there. The quickest way to get to it is not only the show notes where I have the link there, but if you go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, click the shop now button, you can purchase the Pro Wrestling Tees store, Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt, and of course that helps support the show. So also, almost all of those links are at mikemills.podbean.com. The Amazon referral link in our Pro Wrestling Tees store is at the top of the page, whereas the PayPal donation is a little bit further down, probably midway down the page. There's a link that says donate. Doc, that's all I got this week, man. You got anything else before we send everyone over to the promos from this week's episode, episode 11 from the, what was it, Hancock County High School? Did I miss something there? Hancock County High School? Where are we at? Where are we at?
Hancock High in East Tennessee.
All right. You don't have anything else today?
Nah, let's get on out.
All right, y'all. Here they are, the promos from this week. Enjoy. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week, and we always appreciate it. But you know what we always say when we get out of here? Book it, bitch.
All right, fans, and with us right now at ringside, here are the Koloffs from Russia. Ivan, why are you guys back? You paid $500 fine, you're back?
This is right, and we're glad to be back in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And all the people behind the scenes thought they got rid of the Koloffs because we had family situation. They thought they'd eliminate us from the tournament. We paid the $500. Fantastic. You still didn't get to it. We're going to beat everybody in the tournament and win.
All right, fans, that's the story right there from the Koloffs, and we'll be back right after we take this timeout.
Fans, before we went on the air today, Commissioner Bob Armstrong made an important statement about the Volunteer Slam. It was a very important statement. Right now, let's hear what he had to say about it.
Wrestling fans, this is Commissioner Bob Armstrong, Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Commissioner, I understand you have some big news concerning the Volunteer Slam.
A very important announcement. The Volunteer Slam will be in Knoxville, Tennessee on May the 22nd. May the 22nd. The reason for that change is, Bob, that I've been deluged with cards, letters, phone calls from the Japan organization. All of our wrestlers have been to Japan. Right. Japan is interested in coming here and watching the crowning of the champion. Now, one thing I do want to say, the promoters have gotten together, and they've agreed to do this as a bonus for the Smoky Mountain fans. Not only will the heavyweight championship be decided on that night, May the 22nd, but also the tag team titles will be set, decided on that same night. So it'll be the big night, probably the biggest night in professional wrestling history for the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. It's going to be a lot more surprises coming up. I'll talk to you about later, but right now we're going to cooperate with the Japanese organization because they're going to be sending Japanese wrestlers, some of their best, over here, and we'll be changing wrestlers back and forth. And brother, when you go and to see Japan wrestling, you'll see some wrestling at its best, just like you see here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Fans, you want to put that date on your calendar. That's May 22nd. It's in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Civic Coliseum. That's a date you don't want to miss.
One more thing before we close. Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful, he's been keeping insisting, why don't I legalize the pile driver? Well, I'll tell you why. I don't need to tell him why. I'm the commissioner. I decide what's legal and what's not legal. And as for right now, the pile driver is not legal in the Smoky Mountain area. Thank you, Bob.
Fans, we'll return to the action of Smoky Mountain Wrestling right here on Fox 61, your hometown superstation in Chattanooga, in just a moment. First, we want to talk to some of the outstanding stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, some of the stars that you'll be seeing in your area really soon. Tim Horner, Tim.
You know, Bob, I was down at the office the other day, and there's boxes of, and boxes of fan mail from the fans, the good wrestling fans in Chattanooga. They're excited about Smoky Mountain Wrestling coming to Chattanooga, and we're excited about coming, too. Because I'll tell you one thing, when White Lightning comes to town, you know I'm going to be striking so hard and so fast from so many different directions, my opponent's going to think he's surrounded. And the Fantastics, you know they're live anytime they show up. And Primetime Brian Lee, my main man, 285 pounds of romping, stomping, walking, talking, jip-jiving, socializing. He walks tall and does it all. You tell him, Brian.
Brian.
Exactly right, Tim. That's what I plan on doing when I come to Chattanooga. With this type of talent here and the athletes in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, there's nothing but 100% competition. That's why I'm here. When I get to Chattanooga, I guarantee you one thing. Primetime Brian Lee will put the cancellation on somebody, and it's 1, 2, 3, lights out.
And the Fantastic.
You know, Bob, I want to tell you something right now. I'm a big fan of professional wrestling myself, and I'm so excited about the opportunity to come to Chattanooga with the history behind Chattanooga wrestling. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling is working hard right now on bringing some of the greatest stars right here on Fox 61 live throughout the whole entire area. So I want all those people to fire it up, because when Bobby Fulton and Jackie Fulton come to Chattanooga, brother, we're going to come with all four barrels loaded. And let me tell you something, Bob. We're not going to be a stranger to any opponent when we step in that ring. And when the smoke's clear and with the fan support, we're going to come out winners, Bob.
Hey, Jack.
That's right. You know, I'm excited about going to Chattanooga, too. Remember the great time we had last time we were there, Bobby?
That's right, yeah.
Remember all the great fans? I can't wait to get there and shake each and every one of their hand and hug all those pretty young ladies, because I know Chattanooga has some of the prettiest girls, not only in Tennessee, but all throughout the United States. The Fantastics, Brian Lee, Tim Horner, we're coming to Chattanooga. You better be ready, because we're going to be flying high.
Fans, remember it. It's Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and it'll be in your area soon. Don't miss it.
Well, fans, so far in Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championship Tournament, this is what has happened. Now, we've seen the Maulers defeat the Riches to advance to the second round. And the Fantastics, they advanced also by beating the Wild Bunch.
All right, fans, back at ringside with Dutch Mantel. Dutch, I got to ask you, what are you hiding about where Carl Stiles has been?
I'm not hiding anything. The only thing to hide about Stiles that would help is his face. Now, leave me alone about it.
I don't know, fans. Maybe we'll get that story sooner or later. Let me tell you, two of the seeded wrestlers in the Volunteer Slam Tournament in Knoxville on May 22nd are Primetime Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy. Now, last week they had a confrontation that really turned violent.
Yeah.
Let's go back and see what happened during that confrontation.
And then you got this big, long-legged, tall drink of water that wants to call himself Primetime Brian Lee. Who's you ever beat, Horsehead? You had nothing happening. Stinking individual, and if you think for 1 minute that you got enough intestinal fortitude to step in the ring against one of the meanest men in professional wrestling and one of the greatest minds in professional wrestling,
Here he is, Primetime Brian Lee.
I'll tell you one thing, white boy. You stand out here and run your mouth about how no man on this earth can beat you. Well, I know that a man on this earth can beat me, but it's not you. And I hope in the tournament we get to come down and find out who the real man is between us.
Okay. Primetime Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy.
We'll
what about
see.
That one?
We'll see, Primetime. You just signed it, big man. We will definitely see.
Oh, wait a minute. From behind, there came the Dirty White Boy with that chair hard right across the back of Primetime Brian Lee. Here comes Bob Armstrong out now, pointing a finger at the Dirty White Boy.
All right, fans, and that's exactly what happened here last week. Is it any wonder that the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Ron Wright were fined by Commissioner Bob Armstrong?
Let me tell you, Bob, I was never so disheartened. Here I am, a poor old crippled, feeble man up in my years, and I was having to take heart medicine and arthritis medicine. After him putting that low-down $500 fine on me, I've had to go and take generic heart medicine. It don't keep my heart in check like it is, but let me tell you something. Bob Armstrong, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you pulled a dirty trick on me. You're making it hard on me. But let me tell you, I've got the Dirty White Boy out in the street running up and down the back alleys. I've got him in training the way that I had him in training years ago, kicking people, stomping dogs. Anything or anybody he runs into will be ready for the big slam when it comes to Knoxville. You can rest assured of that.
All right, fans. Ron Wright says they're going to be ready, and we'll be back. Fans, with me right now are three wild card entrants in our Smoky Mountain tournament: Hector Guerrero, Dixie Dynamite, and Paul Orndorff. Dixie, I know you're looking forward to the tournament and you're ready for it.
I really am. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be a member and a wild card entrant into this tournament. I'm just happy to be here, Bob, and among the people right here I'm standing with, it's just an honor, and I hope to go all the way to the finals of the tournament.
Hector Guerrero?
Well, I know that my country's happy that I am here now. But most of all, I have received an honor, and this is an honor for me to be able to be a wild card into this beautiful tournament, and I am very proud of it.
What do you think of the chances of a wild card entrant coming home with all the bacon, so to speak, the championship?
Well, you know, things like that happen in football, it happens in baseball. Look at the Atlanta Braves. They thought they'd never win. They went all the way to the World Series, and hey, it would really be an honor for Dixie Dynamite with all his little firecrackers behind him to come out there and come out on top.
Hector, you've looked at all the competitors in there. What do you think of it?
Well, I'm very, very acknowledging that the Smoky Mountain international business here is very, very high quality in its competition. Yeah. That you can't beat it anywhere else.
Fans, it's going to be a great tournament, and our other wild card entrant right here, Mr. Wonderful himself, Paul Orndorff. Paul?
You know, all this gaga and this goo-goo, how glad you are to be here. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's an insult to me. Mr. Wonderful, hey, that's Paul, not Paul Orndorff, it's Mr. Wonderful to you. I have been all over this world. I have sold out buildings from the United States to Japan, and you name it. I beat Hulk Hogan. I beat Ric Flair. I've beaten everybody that's anybody in professional wrestling.
Mr. Wonderful, nobody has denied that. Nobody is saying that you aren't that kind of a competitor. But you just said you wrestle all around the world. You haven't wrestled enough here in Smoky Mountain to get the record to qualify without being a wild card.
You know something? Effort. You're just about as smart as those rednecks out there. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I have proven myself. I shouldn't have to come here and prove myself to these guys here who the best is. There's no doubt about it. I could beat any two of these guys at the same time. Both of them together don't weigh as much as me.
Wait a minute. Look, I have Dixie Dynamite, myself. Hey, we both grew up in the business. We've both been professional wrestlers for so many years. And not only this, what is this, a violin? There is no violin into this.
Listen. Do you think for 1 minute that those people out there don't know that I can beat you, or you, or even you?
Wait a minute, guys. Hey, if you want to sell it, why don't you
sell it? I'll sell it any way I want to. I'm sick and tired of this garbage. Let me tell you something else, Bob Armstrong. You won't let me use my pile driver, but everybody else out here can use whatever they want to use. But no, you're afraid that I may hurt somebody. Well, you're dead gum right I'm going to hurt somebody.
Look, hold on. Hey, talking is cheap. Let's do it in the ring. Talk is cheap. Let's do it in the ring.
Let's do it. Get it on. You can, both of y'all go to the ring. How's that? You can even go with them and hold their hand.
Well, I'm going to stay here. You guys go to the ring. Whew, what a wild time here. Let's do go up to the ring. Ladies and gentlemen, this match will be one fall. It is a wild card elimination match. Introducing first, weighing in at 210 pounds from Guadalajara, Mexico, Hector Guerrero. Weighing in at 250 pounds from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Hey, Hector, you know what a Reba means? Huh?
You know what it means.
It means swim a little faster. The border guards are coming.
Here it is. Well, here comes Jim Cornette. Right now, he's going to make his way out and up onto the apron of the ring and into the ring. but I don't see any wrestlers with him.
We need a close-up shot of the premier manager.
You know, if you people would shut up for a second, you might learn something. Do you realize that? You know, I managed one of the greatest tag teams of all time. They were the greatest team in the United States, but it wasn't enough. So then I went out and I managed the greatest tag team in the world, but that wasn't enough. So now I bring to Smoky Mountain Wrestling for the first time ever the greatest tag team in the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, the Heavenly Bodies!
All right, the Heavenly Bodies, that's the team, and we're going to get our first look at them, and here they come. Hey, look at this, Dutch. Who is that? Tom Pritchard.
Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Dr. Tom Pritchard and Stan Lee.
Sweet Stan Lee.
Sweet Stan.
Oh,
boy.
Edgar Winter Group, Frankenstein.
Has Cornette outdone himself?
What a great, great pair. Two of the greatest wrestlers.
Ladies and gentlemen, here they are. The Gangster of Love and the Doctor of Desire. Stan Lee, Tom Pritchard, the Heavenly Bodies.
Nice, very good.
Jim Cornette's new tag team fans, the Heavenly Bodies.
Fans, we'll return to the action on Smoky Mountain Wrestling in just a moment, right here on your hometown superstation, Fox 61 in Chattanooga. But first, let's meet some of the Smoky Mountain stars that you'll be seeing in person in your area really soon. Dutch Mantell, Dutch.
Did you say Chattanooga?
That's right.
Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Said Chattanooga.
Chattanooga,
right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, I might as well say exactly what I feel right here. I'm tired of being Mr. Nice Guy. I hate Chattanooga with a pea purple passion. I hate that town. I'd rather take a bull whipping at sunup than go there. What? And you know why, Bob? What? Have you ever been there? The people are horrid. They are horrid. They smell. They stink. They got summer teeth. Some are there. Some are missing. You know, I just hate to go to the town. But I signed an open contract with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I will go there. And when I go there, I'm going to make a dead level promise right now. When I go there, I don't care who steps in the ring, but I'm going to lay him out like a cold slab in a mortuary, one, two, three, and then I'm going to get up and spit on him. And that's just to show you people in Chattanooga exactly how I feel about you. And when you talk to my friend, Mr. Wright, I want you to show the proper respect.
I'll do that, Dutch, okay? First, Jimmy Golden. Jimmy.
Well, I feel the same way about Chattanooga. I've been there many times. I've never lost a match down there. Don't aim to. Looking forward to coming back to see you hillbillies down here again one more time and any opponent that wants to step into the ring.
Mr. Ron Wright. Mr. Wright?
Yes, sir. It's going to be a great pleasure to be back in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know, I've wrestled in Chattanooga, Tennessee probably for 20 years before I got crippled and got down in this here wheelchair. One thing I can say, I have never lost a match in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm going to be down there with my man that I'm managing, a dirty white boy. He's going to be help getting me out of this wheelchair, and we're going to kick people from one end of Chattanooga, Tennessee, the other end, and you can bet on that and take it to the bank, Bob.
All right, fans, that's just some of the stars that you'll be seeing on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We'll be coming to this area very soon, and be sure you continue to watch right here on Fox 61.
Let me tell you something, Bob Caudle. I kept Stan Lane in the background for weeks because we searched for just the right man. And now the combination's been put together. They have beat every man worth beating and had every woman worth having. They are the idol of millions and the conquerors of more. And they know all the words to the long version of American Pie. The Heavenly Bodies, the Doctor of Desire, Tom Pritchard.
First of all, let me get this straight. And I want everybody to understand something. We're not here for the weather, man. We didn't come here because everybody knows the weather stinks around here, man. And we're sure not here for the women you got hanging around the tri-state area. Because I look around and I don't see any of these women worth having. And we're sure not here for our health. Because if you take a look at us both, you'll see that we're in absolute perfect health. What we're here for in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area is for titles, and we're here for money. And any of you tag teams that think you're bad enough to take us on, step in the ring, and you'll face the same fate, old guy.
There they are, fans, the Heavenly Bodies. We'll see you next week.
Right.
So long for now.
Too much to take in one break.